You must figure I'm a real dangerous man.
The Patrick Henry Society is changing days here on the Survival Circle Network. Come listen to Kit Lang on Mondays now at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. The enemies of freedom never rest, and neither should we. Come and listen to Liberty at its Finest on the Patrick Henry Society now on Mondays here on the Survival Circle Network.
The number of people looking to buy firearms is up nearly 50% compared to 2007, according to the FBI.
In the month of November, our gun sales were probably comfortably 250% of what an average month is. All in favor of losing your rights, please do nothing.
This rally is not about guns, but what these guns that everybody's going to wear represent is the true badge of the free man, that he can bear arms in defense of himself without permission from anyone, and that's what these arms represent.
Gun laws in the U.S. vary by state, and the amount of regulation is a hot-button political issue. It can't take me.
You have associated two U.S. senators and associating them or comparing them to terrorists. I said, well, they are.
It can't take me. Fill your hand, you son of a bitch.
You can't take me.
Join that sexy thing for living way out here on the Survival Circle Network. Yep, Amy's back on weeknights except Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with an hour of trivia, fun, and interesting stories. Join her for living way out here.
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
have you forgotten?
Alrighty, here we are. It is the 31st day of August, last day. Fall going to be starting here pretty quick. I tell you what, if anybody were to ask me right now, I'd tell you fall has already fell here. It's been rainy and cloudy and cool all day. Cool, like real cool for an August day. All summer has been kind of cool. We've had a few warm days. If you guys remember, on July 17th, I think I put a deal in the chat room. I know I put it on Facebook. At 4:30 in the afternoon, it was 54 degrees on the 17th of July. And if you remember, on the 17th and 18th of May, it snowed about 6 inches. We were up there with the Boy Scouts, father and son camp out, about 7 miles from here, 8 miles from here, whatever it is. And it snowed. So we haven't had a real ambitious summer here so far. So I'll have a temperature report for you here in just a minute. As soon as Amy gets in the house, she's going to get me... get me a report once she gets everything put down and whatever else she has to do here in a few minutes. We ought to get a report from the house. So, D says it's 55 up there. I'm suspecting it's going to be probably about that here, which would be plenty warm if it was January, but considering it's the last day of August, 55 is a little on the cool side. But anyway, it feels good. I hate the heat. I hate the humidity. I hate liberals. Oh, wait, that's not even the same thing. But I thought I'd throw it in there anyway. Okay, we gotta. Let me see who all is in the chat room here before we get started. We have, we wouldn't have near as many in there if I wasn't logged in so many times. John Fish, good to see you in here. And a handful of anonymous there, and mostly our regular crowds. Good to see you guys in there. All right. There's a safety thing I want to talk about here first, just for a minute. And there was a... Let me get up here and find this real quick. There was a listener that contacted me earlier today and said, "Hey, I got a deal for you that you might want to share with your listeners." And I said, "Okay." And I get these things all the time. Somebody's always wanting me to share, which is not a bad thing. It's just that I get so many of them. But I said, "All right, what you got?" Well. You know, I'm always talking. We talk about handling weapons and all the times that we've had, you know, so many instances of people shooting a finger off or shooting through their hand or shooting themselves in the foot or, you know, doing something because they just forgot to clear the chamber. Well, this one's a little bit different. It's not an exception because it was still the guy that told me about it ultimately was still at fault. But fortunately, it was pointed in a safe direction and nobody got hurt. So that's what you call a learning moment. As long as nobody was injured, it's embarrassing. And you wish it wouldn't have happened and you take a little while to live it down. But I'll guarantee you one thing. I know that this guy will never do it again, and I know that any friends, relatives, or family he may have that goes out with him with guns, yeah, I can bet that this won't be happening again. So this just happened yesterday. Had a negligent discharge. He was at some other people's house and let somebody look at one of these handguns. Looking to maybe trade one for another. anyway, he wanted to make sure that the guy could rack the slide and everything on the gun that he was trading. And I guess he's got some nerve damage and some problems in his hands, so he wanted to make sure it worked. So said it was pretty hard. He did it pretty. He got it done, but it was hard for him to do. Wouldn't work under, if he was trying to do it quickly under any kind of stress or anything. So the guy had cleared the gun first before he started, but was unaware that the other guy had put the magazine back in before handing it back to him. The chamber was still empty. Now, at this point, you know how many times I've told you that you must look into the chamber. And in a lot of guns, the NRA and everybody tells you you're supposed to stick your finger in there and check the... Well, a lot of these guns, especially handguns, are just too small to do that, especially as big of fingers as I've got. But anyway, you can see in there fine. And at night, if you can't... if you can't see in there, then you may not be able to reach all the way into the mouth of the chamber, but you can put your finger in the ejection port and see if there's anything there. That's how you check the chamber in a low light environment. So the guy had put the magazine back in and handed it back to him. So the listener had cleared the gun before they started all this, but didn't know that the other guy had put the magazine back in. So he wanted to try a different kind of technique, and was going to clear it and make it safe, and wanted the hammer down in the uncocked position, because if you're going to do that, one of the things that you can do to help defeat or help make pulling that slide back easier is to have the hammer cocked so that you have one less spring to defeat. But anyway, he wanted the the hammer down. So he worked the slide. Now imagine, kind of get a visual here of what's going on. He pulled the slide to the rear. Nothing came out because the chamber was empty. It just had a magazine in it. So, unbeknownst to him, the magazine was back in, and he had unintentionally chambered around. And he wanted it uncocked, so he worked the slide, pulled the trigger intentionally, and what happened? It got very noisy in the living room there for a second. And fortunately, like I said, this was just it was a learning moment. He's... obviously had the good sense to have it pointed in a safe direction. People get a little annoyed with me sometimes when I... Number one, I harp on this quite a bit. Ask Eddie, ask Tampico Scout, B2 Basic, Yakima Glock. Ask them if I don't harp on checking that chamber. And the Tex Grebner School of Firearm Safety. That is a funny video, no doubt about it. But I harp on checking that chamber all the time. If people get annoyed with me, they'll check it and hand it to me, I'll check it again. I'll hand it to them, they'll do something with it, they'll hand it back to me, and I'll check it again. I even, in working in the gun store, we took guns that we knew were empty, because we've been showing them all day, all week, all month, and check the chamber, hand it to somebody, they hand it back. We check the chamber again before we put it back in the cabinet for that exact scenario, that exact same possibility right there. So, anyway, gun went off, and nobody was hurt. Definitely a learning moment, but... Something he mentioned in there, as you get a little older, you may be not as sharp as you were at one point, and don't pick up on everything as well as we used to. yeah, and we need to follow back. I'm not sure if I agree with that. I think I know what you're saying, but I'm not sure if I agree with it, because it seems that that's to imply that maybe we're not quite as sharp and everything as we once were, and that may be some merit to that, you know, as we get past you know, whatever age, 50, 60, whatever, there may be some merit to that. But there's also, if you've been handling the gun, what's the word, immaculately, impeccably, if your procedures are impeccable, I think that they just get better and better with time. And I don't know, that there may be, you know, you may have some merit to what you're saying. I don't know. It probably depends on the individual, really. But at any rate, nobody was hurt. The only thing, there's a little hole in the carpet, and he got a bird's eye view of how we see these bullet holes in the concrete on a lot of ranges out there that have concrete near the firing line. And I remember my most vivid memory of these is a police range we used to work on in New Mexico. But the bullet hit. Now, this was at a probably a pretty deep angle. I'm going to go out on a limb. I'll just kind of guess that it was probably 45 degrees or more. Or let's see. No, 45 degrees or less. No, 45 degrees or more. And anyway, little hole in the carpet, hit the concrete, and slid under the carpet along the concrete for 2 or 3 feet. And so it's, I guess it's still in the carpet there. I don't know if they're going to leave it there as a reminder of what not to do every time you walk out there barefooted and happen to hit it with your heel cuss at it, you're going to remember that, remember what happened that day. So anyway, very, very glad that nobody was hurt. And I am absolutely confident that won't happen again. And, you know, these things happen. You know, Tex Grebner, yeah, he was, that was a whole different story. But he was injured, but it was relatively minor. You know, people say any bullet hole is not minor. Yeah, it is. You can have, there's lots of them. You think of there's been, I haven't checked lately, but the last time I checked front sight, there was like 15 or 16 negligent discharges out there, and quite a few of them with injuries. Matter of fact, all of them, because they don't put them on there if there's no injuries. So, but a good many of those people, the majority of those people, went to the hospital with anywhere from 2 to 4 holes in one leg, and then got patched up and come back and finished their class the next day, or the next 3 days, you know, whatever they had left. So it sounds scary, but realistically, it's not nearly as bad. If you don't get into arteries, structural bones of some kind, it's not nearly as bad as getting tangled up with a chainsaw or a skill saw or some hydraulic deal, wood splitters and stuff. You know, there's a lot of things that can be much, much worse than an in and out bullet hole. So if it didn't hit the you know, the pelvis or something like that, then it's really a, you know, kind of a non-event. But yeah, you know, Peanut Rider, I'll tell you what probably happened. He said he should have noticed the difference of sound made when the round is chambered rather than when the slide is moving forward and there's no magazine in place. And I agree with that 100%. But sometimes your mind will overrule, maybe I should say your, how would I word that exactly? you know, you get the idea, you think, well, something didn't sound exactly right, but you know it was cleared, and you have that, you just have that idea that, you know, yeah, it sounded a little bit different, but I know it's clear, so I'm going to pull the trigger anyway. So I agree with what you're saying, but I also know that, you know, it could have been just a thought at the last second when it was already too late. Just one of those types of things. So anyway, there's, you know, we can sit here and what if it to death, but the fact is, you know, you can do one little thing different, one little thing, and not carry through with your usual protocol, and something can happen. So, and I've said in most cases, not all cases, but in most cases, you can obey any one of those four safety rules and prevent an injury. And in this case, it was keeping the muzzle pointed in a safe direction. Okay, finger on the trigger, ready to shoot. Well, the thing was, now if I'm going to be dropping the hammer on a gun, I personally don't pull the trigger, drop a hammer anyway. Never have. I've always used my thumb to lower the hammer, unless I'm intentionally dry firing. I don't do that anyway. But so it's violated that one. And then, you know, treat all guns as if they were loaded. That one was violated. If he would have violated all of the others and remembered that one, it wouldn't have happened at all. If he would have violated all the rest of them except the trigger, keeping your finger off the trigger, it wouldn't have happened. Since the one that he did abide by was keeping it pointed in a safe direction, yes, it still happened, but nobody was injured. So, not a big deal. Probably a little exciting around there for a few minutes, but other than that, I think it's not a big deal. Okay. Peanut Rider, I am in agreement with you, I understand. Let's see. And you know what? There's another possibility of not letting the hammer down that I didn't think about, and that was also, you know, I always let the hammer down with my thumb. But I guess if it was a concealed hammer, you've got a lot of these guns that have they're either completely concealed, or, you know, so small and underneath there that you can't reach them. You can see them. They're not concealed, but you can't put your thumb on them. Does that make sense? So, yeah, that's a possibility, too. So it may be one of those things where you had to just because of the mechanical design of the gun. So, anyway. All right. Well, I've got a couple things I'm going to play for you here. Simply because I have something that I need to do online here concerning my ham license. So I've got a couple things for your amusement that I want to, or amusement and entertainment, I guess. Now, this old gal, this was just put out, and I don't know if this is real or not. It's hard for me to believe that anybody can be this absolutely 100% totally just stupider than a sack full of hammers. Hard to believe. Now, the one thing that helps her get away with it is she's drop-dead gorgeous, too. But it doesn't keep her from being an idiot. But I'm wondering if she's doing this just, you know, she has several videos, and I don't know if this is real or not. But it is definitely amusing. So I'm going to play this, and then I'm going to maybe play a song for the bottom of the hour break, and then when we get all done with that, I'll be back. Well, pay attention here.
Hey, y'all. I am exhausted today, and that's why I'm laying down. But I wanted to just for a second, you know, say, first of all, I love being single for a lot of reasons. And mainly because I can go where I want, when I want, with whom I want, and eat what I want, and wear what I want, and look like I want to look like, and talk to who I want, and leave when I want, and sleep when I want, and get up when I want, and it's pretty great. But sometimes, as a single woman, you feel a little unsafe, and so I'm exhausted because I've been gun shopping. And I went into the store, and the guy was like, "Yes, ma'am, can we help you?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I came to the gun store for a gun, but I would like to buy a protection gun." And he's like, "Okay," and he was kind of laughing at me, and I said, "I don't want a murder gun, I want to buy a protection gun." And he looked at me like I've been hit with the stupid stick one too many times. And he said, "Ma'am," which really made me feel old, but he was like, "Ma'am, all guns are the same." And I was like, "No, they're not." And he was like, "Yeah, they are." And I was like, "No, they're not. I watch the news, and I know that there are guns that attack people, and there are guns that protect people, and I would like the protection kind of gun." And he was not real helpful, and so I bought a pink one, because pink's, like, feminine, and I thought, well, that's probably the safer bet, because there's more crazy men than crazy women in the world. And actually, I'm not sure that is true, and I can take that one back until I can be sure. But, you know, if we could just figure out how to get all of the murder guns and the attack guns and not keep selling those to people and just sell protection guns, then I think that would be great and solve a lot of problems. But someone's going to have to educate the people selling them, because he didn't know what he was talking about. Y'all, be sure to push follow to keep up with whatever's going on in the unfolding gun saga, as it were. I'm going to have to get back to the store now. I'm going to take a nap. Just keep it real, y'all. Peace.
She's back! Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Survival Circle.
Wants to hear about the woods and the dirt roads.
Sun and blood from
Yeah, I told Amy that blonde-headed gal, that's got to be, I can't be anybody that dumb. I think she's just making funny videos, and some of the guys on the chat room kind of confirmed that, and I was pretty sure that's what it was. That was just a little too far out there. And then the fact that she had, you know, so many other videos, does the same kind of stuff. So anyway, let's move on here. I've got some other things I want to get to before get done here. Let's see. Here we go. Now this, we have gone, we meaning the country, not meaning you and I, but we have gone full on absolute total retard in this country. It's astonishing to me. I don't get it, I just really don't understand. You know, the NAACP wanted us to sandblast the generals off of Stone Mountain down in Georgia. The whole thing with the General Lee and all the things that's going on with this flag. Now the University of Texas is, and this blows me away, University of Texas is removing the statue of President Jefferson Davis, Confederate President Jefferson Davis, from on campus there. It was taken down from its pedestal Sunday, and I don't know what they did with it, but I guess the court rejected an appeal. They actually went to court with this. There was a Confederate Heritage Group went to court with this, and a judge actually rejected an appeal to this. Unbelievable. Crews were seen taking it down from it. They had a place here near the big clock tower there. And it was, they said Davis led this southern states during the Civil War, 1861-1865. They said it'll eventually be displayed in the Briscoe Center History Museum on campus, which university officials said is more appropriate place for it. The Briscoe Center is one of the nation's largest archives on slavery. So they've taken this now from being a Confederate war general, leader, officer, soldier, to making it directly associated with slavery now. Briscoe Center has one of the largest archives on slavery, they said. The target has been there's more to it than we know, though. It says the statue has been a target of vandalism as well as criticism. Confederate symbols nationwide are being reconsidered following the recent mass shooting of members of a black church. You know, there's mass shootings of white people, too. What do we get rid of when white people get shot? I'm not sure. Oh, well. There you have it. Let's see. Let me get my... I got to change pages here. I've got too much stuff going on. There was a little bit of a scare here, and it may not be over yet, but I don't... So far, it hasn't been a big problem. There's a website out, a couple of them, actually, that claimed that the EBT system was down nationwide. And that other payment systems having issues as well. Well, I don't think that was true. I checked with several sites in several areas, and my cards and stuff worked fine. Not my EBT card, but my debit card and stuff worked fine all weekend. Didn't have a problem. It worked fine in Phoenix. It worked fine here. It worked fine between here and Phoenix and a couple places that I stopped. And it worked in Kingman. So that wasn't quite as big of a deal as you thought. You know, it says something for this website. Actually, it's called Investment Watch. The InvestmentWatchBlog.com. And they have a video laid up here. Your 72-hour red flag before U.S. martial law. Marshall spelled M-A-R-S-H-A-L. Really? You're going to put that out there and pretend, want everybody to believe that you're credible, and you spell martial law M-A-R-S-H-A-L? Unbelievable. Well, anyway, they said there have been a few little pockets of problem here and there. But mostly it's been not when you were trying to receive money, but when you were trying to pay. So the EBT card and stuff, apparently everything was working fine as long as you were receiving. But when you were trying to pay something, they said, and I put this, it said, I don't remember, maybe I can go find it. I think I remember where I put it. Stand by 1 second. And let me go look real quick. There was a percentage here of the problems that they had. It was 91%. Let's see here. I'll go find it. I think I will. My internet's running a little slow now that I actually want to do something with it. It was doing fine now until I want to go look around now. It figures. Well, maybe I won't. I'll cruise up through here one more time. I think I looked in the wrong place. Let me look at this one. I think that looks better. Well, evidently that one's not. There it comes. As soon as I start answering myself here, I guess everything That'll be the final straw in my craziness here. Well, it looks like the guy may have taken it down after he realized that it was not what it was supposed to be. It looks like it's gone. Okay, well, that's enough of that. Well, let's just go now to our regular batch of stories here. I had a couple other things I wanted to share with you before quitting time here. I want to remind everyone while this is coming up here that our big show is coming up. The Arms Expo, the Restoring America's Heritage Arms Expo is coming up. And there's Maria B2 Basic has put links on a lot of our website. There are a lot of our Facebook pages that you guys follow. DeTinker is going to be putting a link up on the Survival Circle here pretty soon. And that is a link that you can, if you want to help us to pay for this, the expenses of this show, and get, we got some good speakers coming in, some good entertainment. It's going to be a heck of a lot of fun. 3 days. We've got representatives, officials coming from northern Idaho, from Washington, from here in Arizona. Sheriff Mack will be there, and we may have a couple of surprises that I won't be able to tell you until, because we have the possibility of conflicting schedules. I don't want to get everybody hopes up. We've got a couple of very, very well-known individuals that might be able to make it here, and they are working on that as we sprechen here. So, with all that aside, also the long-range handgun class coming up in Young, Arizona, November 7th and 8th, I believe it is. You don't want to miss that. If you want to get down and get your service-style handgun comfortably into what most would consider carbine ranges, then come join us for that long-range handgun class. Okay, in Tennessee, 5 Middle Tennessee counties, there's been bomb threats today. This is fairly new, but they've confirmed that there's been several schools in at least 5 counties that have received recorded bomb threats today before noon, Eastern Time, or was that Central Time, whichever it is, or local time anyway for Tennessee. And they evacuated these buildings, and apparently they didn't find anything. It says after receiving the threat, administrators evacuated the school as a precaution. No one was allowed on the property as officials searched the school. And evidently they didn't find anything. But, you know, this is I'm surprised that this doesn't happen more often, because there's more people out there that are, they're rude, they're hateful, they're, you know, not smart enough to build their own bomb, but they are smart enough just to cause, just to wreak havoc by calling these in and interrupting classes and everything and making people evacuate the kids. And I see that's going to happen a lot more. Pretty soon, it may get to a point where it's like crying wolf, and they say, well, you know, we'll look around here a little bit, but we've had that happen, you know, 9 times already this month. So, and then they're going to have a big one, and there's going to be, you know, 247 kids killed. And so this could turn into a bigger problem than what it looks like right now. And remember, I told you here, I think there's been 3, maybe 4 cops killed in the manner that we were talking about. And that is that people are not condoning this. I'm not saying that patriots did it by any remote stretch of the imagination. But we've already seen who did the other ones. And that is people shooting cops for not in a shootout, not in a robbery, not when they've been caught doing anything, just ambushing them. You saw the cop down in Texas, down in Houston, I believe it was. Guy putting gas in his car. Dude just walked up, shot him to the ground, and then shot him some more. killed him dead, left behind a wife, two little kids, and I expect that to, and I've already mentioned this before, but I expect that this is going to escalate, going to increase a little bit. I hope it doesn't, but it is what it is. I see things like this, you know, just coming up. Of all the stories that we've done, which has been, I don't even know how many, 100, 500, I don't know, of cops that have killed pets, usually dogs, for no reason, injured them, killed them, we've had two, count them, two, where the cop actually risked, it probably wasn't near as much risk as people would believe, but did the right thing and managed to get a dog that was a potential threat under control without shooting him. Imagine that. What a concept. Amazing that somebody would come up with this on their own and actually get this dog under control without killing it. This dog actually bit this cop. And the cop, I think, understood that sometimes these dogs are not mean, but they're scared. They're panicked. They're worried for their owner. They're worried for their kids. They're worried for themselves. They're freaking out. And the bite usually is not as savage and hard, you know, as you would expect, but more of a, you know, stay away from my human or stay away from me, more of a warning bite. But this cop actually, and what a wonderful story this is, but the guy called, this was in Round Rock, Texas. A homeowner there called had noticed a neighborhood disturbance. War veteran and father let the dispatcher know that his four-year-old son and his dog were at home with him. The dog, Jillaroo, Australian Shepherd, get it? Jillaroo, with a protective nature. The loyal dog helped protect her home and family while this guy, this homeowner, served in the military overseas. The officer showed up at the door, and the guy didn't have time to put the dog away, so when the guy's kid answered the door, his son answered the door, the Australian Shepherd saw a stranger there approaching the kid, and she did what a dog is supposed to do, and bit the officer on the leg. But instead of shooting the dog, the cop was tried to just soothe the dog and calm her down. And what this cop did impressed the homeowner so much that he wrote a letter to the department to express how impressed and thankful he was. And that was, you know, that will probably go a long ways towards, you can imagine the number of letters. They're going to get one, you know, maybe a handful of letters saying, oh, thank you, you know, for being compassionate and not killing the dog, as opposed to, you know, 60,000 that they get when they shoot a dog that wasn't doing anything but laying in the corner of the bedroom scared to death. So this should hopefully tend to provide an example for some of these other law enforcement agencies. But let's see. Here's a little part of the guy's letter. He said, Today I needed to file a report about a disturbance, and the dispatcher who took my report said the patrolman would call before he arrived. We have one dog who is very protective of my family. When the officer arrived and rang the doorbell earlier than I expected, I ran downstairs, but my four-year-old son had already at the door with our dog. Now, let's stop right there for a minute. Four-year-old kids have no damn business answering the door. Period. Unless you're sitting in the living room and you tell them to go answer the door because you know who it is, four-year-old kids do not go and open the door unattended somebody that they don't know. Okay, let's get that straight right now. That was the root cause of this event. If it hadn't have been this episode here, if it hadn't have been for that, the guy probably could have put the dog away just fine without this happening. But anyway, when my son opened the door and started to approach the officer, the dog immediately put herself between him and the officer and ended up biting the officer twice on the leg, not viciously, but still creating bruises and breaking skin. The officer was slowly backing up and trying to get her to calm down with outstretched hand. Luckily, I was there an instant later and separated her. The officer then proceeded to take my report about the issue I had originally called about in a very calm and professional manner. I asked him if my dog got him, and he said, "Yeah, a little. I'm sorry, I should have called first." He did not need to call or apologize at all. Protocol necessitated he call in the bite, which is understandable, so that animal control could take a report and do a rabies vaccination check and the standard 10-day in-home quarantine, but that's where it ended. The officer did not strike back against my dog during the incident, did not act disproportionately, did not file charges or wish her punishment. Instead, he said, "She's just doing her job." Now that, friends, is the way it's supposed to be handled. He said he was absolutely professional and trained, and we thanked him for it, and we know it could have turned out very differently. I'm a grown man, a veteran of both Iraq and Afghanistan, and I'm getting emotional over this. We love our sweet dog with all our heart, and she is extremely protective, which is a quality in this day and age that is both bad and good, with an outcome that always comes down to who is involved. I tried to look up news stories where police officers had been bitten by dogs to glean some perspective, but all I saw were terrible stories where dogs were being tased and shot by the police, sometimes with very ambiguous circumstances. I want everyone to know that in Round Rock, Texas, we have some pretty darn fine police officers who would do a job a lot of the time without much thanks or recognition. This little incident should show you what caliber of people we have protecting us, and maybe they should get a little credit from time to time for doing things right that nationally seems to be very difficult. I will be shaking the Round Rock Police Department's officer's hand when I see them from now on. Appropriately, the officer has been commended by his department for his handling of the situation. He received a Chief's Chip Challenge coin in recognition for his compassionate and intelligent response to the situation. So that's an excellent story. And ordinarily, you know, it shouldn't be that big a deal. We should be able to just say, okay, well, that's so what? That's how it is. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's the way it always is. But unfortunately, it is not the way it always is. And this story is a big deal. And I think that it's probably one of the, if not the most important story that we did tonight. So kudos to the Round Rock Police Department. All righty. Well, I have things to do, places to go, and people to see, and I need to get at it here. So I'm going to sneak on out of here a couple minutes early, and we'll be back here tomorrow. And Amy should be in. We don't have anything. I don't think any conflicting schedules. I'm sorry that we've had kind of a hectic last week or two here. So I think we've got everything back fairly well squared away, at least for the time being. So thanks for coming in, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join Cope Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.